Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is Michael Murat, and this is our fourth study in the book of Joshua. Today we come to Joshua chapter 3, and we begin our study in verse 6. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to your word that we are about to study today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Israelites are on the edge of the Promised Land, about to cross the Jordan River and enter into it. But the Jordan River was flooded at this time of the year, and so God is going to have to do a miracle to get the Israelites across that river. We're going to see that today. Let's begin reading in verse 5. It says, Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Well, the next day, they will leave and they will go into the Promised Land. And actually, it is the next day and it's time to go forward. This is the big day that they have been waiting for centuries. The Israelites have been waiting for hundreds of years for this day. Today is the day that the Israelites enter the land that they have been promised by God, and they begin to take it. Verse 7. And the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." God knows His people, and He knows that His people must be convinced that Joshua is the man that He has chosen to lead people, the Israelite people, into the Promised Land. They will know. They will know by the amazing thing that the Lord is about to do. Verse 8. God says, "You shall command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan." And as I mentioned earlier, the Jordan River would be running at flood stage at that time of the year. So in order to get into the land, the Israelites have to cross that river. And God tells the leaders, the spiritual leaders, to stand in that flooded river, which illustrates that spiritual leaders don't just tell others how to live, they live it also. And they live it first. At least they should. Verse 9. "So Joshua said to the children of Israel, 'Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God.'" Joshua is about to get specific about this amazing thing that God said he would do. 10. "And Joshua said, 'By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will, without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites.'" This is how you will know that the Lord God of Israel is among you. In other words, this is how you will know that the Lord God of Israel is alive, not dead, like the so-called gods that the other nations worship. Living people do something. Well, that's how you can tell they are alive. At the very least, they are breathing. Well, God is about to do something, which is a reminder to Israel that He is alive, that He is real, and that He is about to keep His promises to Israel. Verse 11. "Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan." God isn't everyone's Savior. He isn't everyone's Father. But he is everyone's creator, and he is everyone's Lord. As verse 11 says, God is the Lord of all the earth. Now, not everybody treats him as Lord, but he is still Lord, meaning if people submit, he blesses. If they rebel, he punishes. He is the Lord. He has the right. Joshua says, our God, who is the Lord of all the earth, he will enter the flooded Jordan River before us. And it's important to remember, when facing a trial, don't forget that God is out front of you. He's out in front, leading. He goes ahead. Verse 12. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. God never tells us, actually, what these 12 men were for. He just said, choose 12 men. Now, a little later on, he's going to tell Joshua to choose 12 men again, and there doesn't seem to be a connection between the two. God doesn't tell us what these 12 men were for. He just says, do it. God doesn't have to explain every command. It is enough to obey simply because he is Lord over all the earth. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. For Moses, the big sign that he was Israel's leader, came when God divided the Red Sea and got Israel away from the Egyptians. For Joshua, the big sign that he was Israel's leader, or is Israel's leader, will come when God parts the Jordan River and they enter into the Holy Land. Verse 14. So it was, when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And notice that the people are allowing God to lead, just as he instructed. They are allowing God to lead, which usually is the case when God's people are entering uncharted territory. It is only after a Christian has done something before and had some success that the temptation to go forward without relying on God becomes a danger. 15. It says, and as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the ark dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. And it is April, by the way, as they prepare to enter the land. We know that because it was barley harvest time. And the priest carrying the ark step into that flooded Jordan River, which the people must cross. Verse 16, it says that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The current stopped upstream. The current stopped to the right of the priests who had stepped into the water. And God started to build a wall of water. He started to build an invisible dam made out of nothing. The thing to see is that this miracle did not occur until the priests believed God enough to step into the water. 17. Then the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. the river was separated and became dry ground after the priest stepped forward and got their feet wet. God did not dry that river up ahead of time. He dried it as they stepped in. God often makes a way for us as we go, even though some of us like to see the way prepared before we even take the first step. Most of the time, God does not work that way. Chapter 4, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, now, when everyone was across, the word of God came to Joshua. And here it is, verse 2. Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe. Now this seems to be a different 12 men than the ones chosen earlier. Because, let's just move on. But the important thing to see is that one representative of each tribe is chosen and will be commanded to do something. And they're going to do it as a unit. And this was to show that the nation, Israel, was united in their dedication to Almighty God. Symbolism is important to God. Ceremonies are important to God, like verse 3. And command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. And so these 12 men, who had already crossed the river, and were in the Holy Land, must now go back about halfway, pick up 12 stones, and set them up as a monument to mark the place where Israel spent their first night in the Holy Land. 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. Joshua does his job as leader. He heard from God, and now he delegates the assignment to the 12 as God directed. And this was all a part of God's plan. And it was important for everyone involved to do his part. All parts of God's plan, in any age, are big parts. It is important for each of God's people to do their part because it all works together. 5. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. They were commanded to carry these stones, notice, on their shoulders. God is very specific. And that tells me two things. It tells me that it is important to do God's will, God's way. And it also tells me that these stones were pretty heavy. Verse 6, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? And so these stones were to be a memorial for future generations who had not experienced the miraculous parting of the Jordan River, so that future generations would know what God did here to get His people into the Holy Land. Verse 7, then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Now, there's nothing wrong with monuments and memorials, religious artifacts, nothing wrong with that. We see those things in the Bible. They are even commanded by God at times. Nothing wrong with them as long as they serve as reminders of God and do not become the objects of worship, which sometimes does happen. And we'll pick up our study next time in verse 8. Until then, so long, everyone.